And we're live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 11 of Beyond Retro, back from the Dungeon of Doom, the retail hell, as we'll call it. I'm Nathan Kennedy, joined as always for the first time in, what, 2-3 weeks, guys? Tyler Baker, Joe Amato, how are you guys doing today?
Doing good. Good to see you.
Ready to start the Christmas season here. I didn't hear what Joe said. I completely overlapped him, man.
Yeah, that's okay. You know how it is. We always have that slight lag and delay. And I'm even going to try to sit real still because, as you know, I always got to talk with my hands when I'm talking. But I figured, well, maybe if I sit still, that lag won't be as bad. So you won't notice if I'm talking like this and then eventually I'm like this. So I'm just going to sit real still. It's going to be something new for me. Let's see if I can do it.
You can't sit still.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Right. No, but yeah, it is good to see you back, Nathan, man. Yeah, there's so many topics we're going to do. It's like, no, man, we gotta wait for Nathan. We can't do this without Nathan.
Yeah, Nathan not even sure, just put the kibosh on a lot of good topics. So we had to keep, no, I got to bury that one like Triple H. No, I can't, we got to bury that one like Triple H too, man. No, let's push this and let's push
I'm
that.
I'm pretty bummed out that I missed out on most of the wrestling discussion. I know I popped in for about 5 minutes, but that definitely wasn't long enough for things that I would like to have said.
It wasn't for us either. I mean, hell, we really just kind of touched briefly on Survivor Series at the time and a little bit of the Royal Rumble. That's, and some heels. I mean, we got too much to say about professional wrestling for that to be the only episode. So we'll have to pick like a wrestling superstar of some kind or a particular era or something like that. We'll definitely be revisiting the squared circle. Joe, stop playing with your phone.
God, I'm just trying to get somewhat of a you. So ain't as bad. It's gonna fall over while we're talking. I know it will. But there, I'm done. I'm done fidgeting with the phone. That's it. So yeah. But that wrestling one was a good one. But yeah, there's a lot of other topics we have coming up. That, well, of course, now you're here with us, and we can always revisit wrestling. Just like Tyler said, there's so many different angles to wrestling. There where yeah, that one's like a nonstop thing.
Well, I mean, it'll be good, and as far as I know, I should be here for the next little while. So, the topic today? What are we talking about specifically here?
Kick-ass Christmas action movies and other Christmas films.
Yeah. So yeah, there you go. I guess
I'm more excited to talk about you know, bullets and fights and blood spill and Christmas films as opposed to feel-good Christmas movies that may be heavily celebrated. And I'm like, nah, I ain't into that. So,
wait, I thought this was going to be like our commentary on the Will Ferrell classic Elf.
Well, Doug's going to be doing that later this evening, probably.
Oh, yeah. Man, wrong podcast.
And what's the one with Goldberg? Was it Santa's Sleigh? Or what was Goldberg's one?
Santa's Sleigh, yeah. I've never seen it. I've just seen other reviews of it that people have done, and that looks like a movie that I would probably get drunk and watch.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Muscles.
I actually think you would like Santa's Sleigh because I have that on DVD. Of course I do. Yeah, you know me. I gotta get the B-rated cheesy movies and anything horror related. It's like Goldberg. I was like, sure, I gotta see this. And that's when they were doing clearance at a lot of those Blockbuster videos. Got it for like $2. But I'll tell you what, Nathan. I mean, I know you're a sucker for B-rated horror movies and other movies. I got a kick out of it. There's some good one-liners, some good little kills. I think you'll actually like that. I got a kick out of it.
Yeah, from what I've seen from some online reviewers, it actually looks like a pretty good time.
It is. It is. It's one of those just good B-rated, sit back, relax, you know, just have a little fun movie. Of course, not take yourself seriously, but, I mean, not that that's one we're going to go in depth about because, I think I'd be the only one talking. But, yeah, that one actually is a pretty good movie. But there's a lot of other good ones. But, Nathan, since you're back, you got to start us off.
You made the wrong decision with that one.
No, I want to hear. I want to hear one of his
No, we had this discussion before you showed up. I said, Nathan, you got to listen to get us going. He goes, no.
Well, that's what's good. You know, he's put on the spot. So
you want silence. You want a moth flying around in the background while Nathan just kind of
I think you'll get one. It's like, you know, of course we're going to babble into a bunch of them, but if you could think of just maybe one Christmas movie, when it's Christmas time, whether it's action, horror, or just a funny comedy, what's a Christmas movie you always want to see every Christmas maybe?
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and steal some of Tyler, since I didn't really come in this thing prepared at all. I mean, of course, Die Hard is, you know, when I think of Christmas, Die Hard comes to mind.
Yeah.
I'm sure Tyler will want to talk about Batman Returns. He's been kind of itching to do that one. So, I mean, you know, beyond that stuff, if we're going, like, you know, everyone watches or has seen A Christmas Story, I would hope by now. I've kind of got sick of that one over the years.
I haven't been able to sit down and watch A Christmas Story in probably at least maybe 2, 3, maybe 4 years. I just haven't had the urge to do it.
Yeah. There's all of those classics. There's things that, you know, I still need to see, like Santa's Sleigh, and then there's actually one that just got released that I'm kind of curious about. It's called Better Watch Out. Taylor gives it away. If you watch that, and if you read some of the reviews, it gives it away, but I'm going to try to maybe rent that this weekend and go into that one blind. So I'm kind of looking forward to that one. But.
Do you know if that's a Netflix thing too, or was that just on rental where you can get it?
No, yeah, it's just out on Redbox right now. I think it came out on Blu-ray this past Tuesday. But hearing a lot of good things about it, so.
Okay, no, I've never heard of it. You know, it's but of course now I'll have to see it. But you know, when you were talking about Christmas Story, and like how you said, you kind of get burned out, because I remember, yeah, it was one I always enjoyed around Christmas. But
once
TBS started, you know, that tradition of just 24 hours of it. I mean, I know it's a cool tradition. Don't get me wrong. I like that, but you do get kind of tired of it. It's like, you know, what happened to the magic of that one time to see it? You know, just like.
Exactly. You hit it right down the head. Because as a kid, I never knew what the name of the movie was. It was just that movie with the kid with the glasses and this freaky Santa Claus that gets in his face and shoves him down the slide. But it came on TBS at Christmas time maybe once a year on, you know, and that's the only time I ever saw it was on TBS. And I miss that magic. Of course, I don't keep cable on anymore, so I don't have the need for that. But that was one of the things that bothered me about that whole 24-hour thing. I guess their mindset was you have all 24 hours to get your viewing of it in, but it just feels like, you know, it's like The Wizard of Oz.
No, you're right. It takes away from, okay.
Well, they do it with Rudolph. The Charlie Brown Christmas special, they play Frosty once a year, and that's it.
That's what I was,
it's gone.
And that's what I was getting at, which sometimes, you know, it amazes me. I was like, why the hell is this movie not on at Christmas? Why is it on 2 weeks before, especially when you do want to see the Charlie Brown Christmas special or whatever else it is?
It's like CBS can't wait to, let's get rid of what people want to see so we can dump, or, you know, our current roster of, you know, great modern day, you know, sitcoms. We get to see all the Christmas specials. Let's get the Rudolph and Frosty getting the hell out of here and play it at the very beginning of December.
When it annoys Christmas me. Yeah, that
barely
is. No, you're right. That is what's annoying, is that, you know, you don't have that special moment. Like, you know, you remember gathering with your family and you would like, all right, well, finally A Christmas Story's on, or Charlie Brown Christmas. We're all going to sit down and you have family time. It's like, what? Oh, okay. Apparently, you know, this day and age, we're all so busy. We don't have time. So let's run it 50,000 times for Christmas Story. Let's get Charlie Brown Christmas special out of the way and maybe put it on another day too. But I miss those special, you know, days, because I don't even see, that's the thing. Watching it on TV when it would come on that once a year was really special. And I know that they sell them on DVD, but I don't have fun with that. I don't like it to where at my convenience and my leisure, I can pop on this anytime. I miss the special time. It sure, give me the commercials too. It's like there's a magic that's lost now. But yeah, the Christmas Story, like they're even doing something now because they've done it so many times and it's so iconic. They're going to do some live version on, I think, December 17th or someday, I don't know, on Fox, you know, 36 on Fox. They're going to do a live version of A Christmas Story. I'm like, I don't know how that's going to go, but have you guys seen previews of this? They've been advertising. It just looks weird.
Was it like a play?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, how much play can you get from the actual film itself? I mean, it's not a...
I that's what I mean. It's strange. I'm thinking the same thing. It's like, well, if this is live, I mean, how do you recreate your moment? Like you said, when they're out having the snowball fight. I mean, you know, when he gets hit the snowball and he gets into the fight. And then they're at the mall. And then they're back home. Then they go to the restaurant. It's like, Well, I guess they can have sets, prepared for that, but I don't know. I don't think that's going to be too much of a hit, but I'm sure everybody will tune in, probably give it a shot. But I
No,
didn't
they
know.
won't.
Yeah, so I was like, I didn't know if either of
Don't
you heard about it.
try and be a pitch man for this god awful idea of something that's being played too much as it is, and badly merchandised too. That's another thing that pisses me off about Christmas Story is all the really crummy merchandise they've done to exploit that movie. It's not cool stuff. I mean, the leg lamp was, I mean, that was cool, but other than that, it was just like Christmas Story this and Christmas Story that. It was like the whole Simpsons syndrome, where they just it's just too much, and I just kind of turned on the film
Well, you
because
don't like a bunch of t-shirts with shitty sayings at the bottom?
where they're not even phrased
Fragile.
movie. It's some douchebag whose father lets him come up with slogans and phrases for these t-shirts. No, it's just stuff like that kills my momentum for stuff like that. That's why I haven't been able to watch Christmas Story in so long. It feels like, it's still a great movie, of course, don't get me wrong, but it's one of those things where I'm like, and even though it's only on 24 hours for that one day, that still just bothers me that TBS still does that.
Well, that's the
Why
thing
not
too.
air?
Like that they show a Christmas Story, like one showing, like a couple weeks before Christmas, too. In addition to the 24-hour
Oh,
thing,
I
because I,
know they started
yeah,
doing that.
because
Question.
I managed to like catch it like before, I like the day after Thanksgiving. I think 1 year they were playing it, and I'm just like, what? Well, all right, whatever.
And I'm
Yeah.
not in the mood to watch Christmas related stuff anyway on Christmas Day. Like, I don't want to sit on Christmas Day and watch. Like, it's almost like Christmas movies and shows. I have got to watch them all up to Christmas Eve. I can't watch them Christmas Day. Christmas Day, once it's the morning thing is over, I'm like, okay, I don't need to watch. I can't watch anything Christmas related after that.
It's been so long because I can't remember how it was, years and years ago when we were growing up. But you're right. I remember Christmas Eve. It's like it was a good celebration of like watching a lot of Christmas specials, like you said, Rudolph, Frosty, Charlie Brown, whatever else it may be. It seemed like it was Christmas Eve, I thought. And then on Christmas Day, you're busy spending time with the family, opening presents, having fun, eating. And then at night, I think you could sit and maybe watch a couple things. That's why I couldn't remember if maybe some of those other Christmas specials, Rudolph or Frosty or any of them, was on Christmas night. Because I could deal with those, but like you said, a big engulfed movie on Christmas Day sometimes, I don't know. Christmas Eve seems a lot more doable. But see, this is
The
the thing.
excitement is still going. That's why I feel like I can't watch anything Christmas Day. Once you've opened presents and spent time with your family and the excitement of Christmas morning is all gone, I don't have any desire to sit down and watch. I mean, not that I haven't, but it's not something I would choose to do just because I feel like the excitement for Christmas is gradually watching stuff. And gosh, we're doing a whole lot of like downing Christmas right now.
Well, no, it ain't really down it, but I had a question about the movie A Christmas Story because, again, it's been on TBS so much, and I know, of course, you can buy it on tape or DVD. God, tape, like I'm in the 80s again. Well, anyways, do you remember, is there anything that was edited for the TV version that, like, maybe on, if you watch it on DVD, was there ever actually any cursing? I know he doesn't say, fuck, I know he says fudge,
Well, yeah,
but.
no. The father says, sons of bitches, like when
The part where he finds out it's an Ovaltine ad and he's like, son of a bitch. I think they used to edit that out, but I think they're okay with it now.
Okay, I was always curious. I didn't know if maybe there's an edits, but when you were talking earlier though, Nathan, about Die Hard, that's just it's like the perfect Christmas movie. You think, oh, this no, that is a Christmas movie. All families can get together and watch that. And I don't care how many times I've seen Die Hard, and that, it definitely is around Christmas time. And they'll sometimes do 4th of July, but every time that movie comes on, and I have it on DVD also, but man, I just gotta watch it when it's on TV too. Edited, unedited. It's like one of the greatest movies ever. It's such a, besides being action, it just keeps your attention the whole time. Also, I wanted to say hello to JSP in the chat room. He said, hey, Christmas Story is the best, LOL. And he said, how's it going, guys? And well, thanks for joining us, JSP. So he's a big Christmas Story fan right there. So don't you go
Sure. I mean,
playing him.
don't get us wrong for people who do listen to this. We're not saying it's bad. We're tired of the you know, the 24-hour ridiculous marathon and the you know, the lame ass merchandising that they do around Christmas time. It's just irritating.
I just watch it once. I'll do it on Christmas Eve, but as it goes through that whole 24 hours into the next day, I don't watch it anymore. I'm like, I'm done. I'm not doing 24 hours of this. I do it once. It is. It's a classic. Yeah, it is.
It is. I mean, it's an emotionally, you know, charged movie. It's fun to see Rafi get the Red Ryder BB gun at the end of the movie. I get a little teary-eyed when I see that because it's exciting and his parents are excited for him and it's, you know.
But it feels real. I mean, a lot of the moments, like especially the part when Ralphie, you know, beat the crap out of, you know, the bully. And his ma then his ma takes him home and she's like, Ralphie, settle down. It's just like she was doing really genuinely mother things with it. Felt so real. And that part where you talk about the BB, you know, Red Ryder BB gun. And, you know, when he sees that behind there, it opens it. And his dad's, you know, kind of like getting excited and just wants to see him open it. I always say the story that I had for Christmas. I wanted a Sega Master System. And
is this going to turn into how you, like, you know, got first place in the Sega Master System, you know, version of Golden Axe, you know, 3.0?
He's like, how the hell does every podcast?
Dude, we were here to talk Christmas movies, not Joe's, you know, many triumphs in his trophy room of the Sega Master System, the Nintendo DS. And the Game Boy Color, and God knows what else.
This is a great time. I was like, how does every podcast turn into you and your damn contest? But no, that's not what it is. But
son of a bitch.
But my dad, I asked him for a Sega Master System for Christmas. And, you know, here came Christmas. And he's giving me all these different gifts. And, you know, I'm opening one another. There's clothes. There's just things he's given me that he knows probably. I'm thinking, yeah. Then sure as shit, it was done. That was the rest of him. He's like, and I don't know if he's watched Christmas Story too much, but he's like, well, did you enjoy all your gifts? And I wasn't copying Ralphie, but I was like, it was good. He's like, all right. He's like, so you got everything? I was like, yep. I said, thanks a lot. I was like, it's good clothes and stuff. He said, okay. And then we're just sitting on the couch. We're watching TV. He's like, sure. He's like, what's wrong with that? I said, what's wrong with what? He's like, did you move that cloth? I said, what cloth? What are you talking about? He was like, under the TV. And we had one of those big old wooden TVs with a space underneath. And he had a draped of, like, a knitted, blanket. And it was going over. He's like, that looks moved. He's like, could you go move it? I was like, okay. So I go and I move. And as I lifted it up, the Master System was under there. I lost my shit. It was so cool. So I had, I guess, my Ralphie moment with that Sega Master. I lost it. He knew I wanted that so badly. And sure enough, he hid that under there. So I had my Ralphie moment. So that's why I can really enjoy that part in the movies. I always think of that moment I had too.
Well, I
actually have a story that's similar to that, with my Golden Axe high score or whatever Tyler was talking about, going on about a Golden Axe.
Okay.
Golden Axe, you know, for the Sega Master System or whatever, you know.
Let's see, this was Christmas, I want to say like 97. I was wanting an N64. And it was kind of a similar thing. Christmas morning, open up all my gifts, you know, no N64. I'm like, all right, yeah, you know, whatever. And then, you know, we always went to my grandparents' house, both my mom's parents and my dad's parents. And when we got home that night, I went to my room to go play video games, and I open up the little door on my entertainment system. There's two presents wrapped up. And I open them up. I don't know how he, like, with the timing of it, with me being in my room before we left to go, I don't know how he managed to sneak all of this in here, but had the games in there, open it up, and there's like WCW, NWO World Tour, and I'm like, and I like go into the living room, and sure enough, there's N64 sitting under the tree, and I just look at him, I'm like, how? And he was like, I just, you know.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, similar experience. High score on the Golden Axe, and
yeah,
and completely screwed me out of the competition.
Shut up. No, that is awesome. That's an awesome story, man. I want to say real quick also, JSP, he's in the chat room. He said, truth be told, he says, I like getting the pint glasses that they sell at Target. Also, it's one of those personal goals to get a full-size leg lamp. So he looks like he's going to be getting some Christmas Story merchandise. And then we have Stephen Brickafull, he's in a chat room, so welcome. Thanks for joining us. He said, hey, guys. He said, just wanted to wish you guys a Merry Christmas and a happy 2018. He says he's in Belgium. He says can't stay up, but we'll check out the show tomorrow. So, well, I hope you enjoy it tomorrow, Stephen. So thank you for joining us for this bit time to catch us later.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, man.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, bud.
And JSP, I guess going towards you there, Nathan said, nothing spells Christmas like WCW and N, I think he meant NWO, he said NOW, but WCW and, yeah, now he said LOL. So, yeah, I guess he remembers that game too.
Yeah, that was a really good Christmas. Like, I know we've been sitting here kind of, like Tyler said, we're not really
doing the opposite. We're getting you guys over on your fantastic video game stories here. I'm about ready to pull my damn hair out because I'm waiting to talk about Batman Returns and Ghostbusters 2 and Lethal Weapon and Die Hard 2. And by the way, that reminds me of the Christmas I had, but I got this.
Well, we were talking about Die Hard, but like I said, nothing just beats that movie. That's just
like, you know what reminds me of Die Hard? The Sega Master System here.
Shut up. So, well, speaking, go ahead. Well, Tyler, we've been rambling, and we were talking about Die Hard, but go ahead. I mean, Die Hard's got to be one of your favorite Christmas movies, I'd hope, because, damn, that's a great movie.
You know what? Just to piss you off, you know? It's like, no, Die Hard is not, you know?
All right, cut his feed. Dirt, cut his feed. Get him off the show.
All right, now, yes, of course Die Hard is, and that's a movie that's up for all seasons. It's not just a Christmas movie. But I also feel like it's just now becoming that over the top staple that it's being unanimous with Christmas films from now on. Whereas I almost felt like it was this movie that it was like kind of a secret handshake that, yeah, we watched Die Hard at Christmas. You watched Die Hard at Christmas. Now it's universally treasured as like a Christmas film. And, but I can watch Die Hard in the summertime. I can watch it in the springtime. Of course, it's a movie that works for all seasons, but it's entertainment as hell, man, just to watch that at Christmas time, especially when it takes place on Christmas Eve. That adds some extra charm to it. You know, everything's more exciting on Christmas Eve anyway. But I actually didn't start watching it a lot more on Christmas until I got a bit older, because when I first saw it, I didn't associate it with it or associate it as a Christmas film. I always just kind of, it was like it was a classic action movie and was just not something that I would sit down and watch it at Christmas time. I think probably when I first saw it, I was still watching your traditional Christmas stuff. But yeah, since then, that one, Die Hard 1 and 2 go hand in hand for me at Christmas time. I enjoy both that, the first one and the second one at Christmas. It's just, there's something exciting about action movies, and I don't know, I know that's another like a cliche stereotype of a lot of classic 80s action films, not all of them, but some of them did take place at Christmas. I don't know why that was, but it was just it's a fun time for an action film to take place. Can you guys come up with a better way to explain why it's fun to watch? I mean, from Invasion USA, Cobra, Ghostbusters 2, which is still technically a comedy, but there's action in it. Lethal Weapon, and you've got Rocky IV. You know, all these films take place at Christmas time. You know, and it's just exciting when all this, you know, kick-ass stuff is going right around the holidays, you know? I mean, who wouldn't want to go to their local mall and stop a bunch of terrorists when all this, you know, holiday shopping is going on? You just kick all their asses with your truck. You're taking them all out with machine guns. And you save the damn day at Christmas time in a packed-out-the-ass mall, you know, from the terrorist Rostov, you know? I mean, you don't know what I'm talking about Invasion in USA when I talk. Well, I'm describing that.
Well, I mean, I think it's because it's obviously outside the norm of reality. You know, when you're having Christmas time, it's always festive in reality. And, you know, you're with family. So when you watch the normal Christmas movies, which are fun, it's basically what you're experiencing. So when you're seeing something different to where, yes, there's explosions, there's people getting killed, there's all this madness that has to be fixed and save the day before you can finally settle down, sure, it gets your blood pumping, whether it's action or even a crazy horror one. I mean, the thought of gremlins, the thought of these creatures that are murdered everyone around Christmas time, you know, and that's not really kid friendly. You think, oh, cute little gizmo. It's like, go back and watch that first Gremlins. That's pretty damn sick and scary, you know? I mean, the thought of if I seen a real-life gremlin and I was a kid, I would have had a heart attack. But again, it's the thought of what can they do to stop all these gremlins from, again, multiplying and killing everybody. See, you're just on pins and needles waiting. So I think that rush, you know, gets you going. It's just, it's a different type of Christmas rush. But you could still calm down, and then after you're done, sure, have your Rudolph, have your Frosty, but who doesn't like an action, horror, suspense, anything? It just gets the blood pumping, you know?
I've just really been accustomed to a more healthier diet of action movies at Christmas time, more than the the cliche. Of course, Scrooge is the best Christmas movie of all time, Bill Murray. You know, we ought to do a separate episode about that alone. Did you know that Nathan's girlfriend has not seen that, Joe?
No, really? Nathan, yeah. You gotta have...
I'm working on it. It will be fixed before Christmas time. I say Christmas time. It's already Christmas time. Before Christmas Day, it will be fixed.
Like an embarrassment.
I promise.
For such an atrocity.
Well, we want to hear that story because I'm sure we'll have that ready for another episode of Beyond Retro since it is the Christmas season. We got to hear her experience of Scrooge because, oh God, that's just a classic. You know, you always figure how many different ways can you spin, you know, that story, Miss Carol.
Not too many good ways because outside the traditional version, which has got alteration after alteration, you know, it's Hallmark's done a bunch of really bad ones.
That's what I mean. It's like how many ways can they spin it? But then Scrooge just got something right. It's just like, for me, I mean, I love Scrooge, and I do love Mickey's Christmas Carol. I love the cartoon of that. That's another. There you go. Go ahead.
Digging into the Christmas specials. We're doing that next week.
Damn it, I'm sorry I just had to babble it, but I did. I like that too, but you know, it's weird. I get to even appreciate some of the older movies, you know, the older versions of Christmas Carol, because when I was growing up as a kid, I always thought, these are old people movies. I can't watch it. Something turned me off from those. And like, you know, I'm going to be honest, and people are going to think I'm a moron. The one where the guy, you know, wants his life to end. He has nothing to live for. That old time. What is that old time movie?
Life.
Yeah.
Thank you. See, I remember. Would you believe last year was the first time I ever watched it? I never wanted to watch as a kid, even grow up as a doll. I was like, God, it just looks so just old and annoying. I was like, damn it, I'll give it a shot. And it was good, but that was the first time I seen it was last year.
I'll talk to you. I still have not seen that film in its entirety.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't give a rat's ass. I don't care. I have no desire to sit down and watch that film. I've had more fun listening to, like, the Beavis and Butthead Christmas special. Yes, I'm breaking the rule here. But they were making fun of It's a Wonderful Life on the Beavis and Butthead Christmas special. I'm like, oh, that's great. I don't need to see that movie. That's what the movie's all about. It's just, you know, it wouldn't give me money, so I wouldn't kill myself.
I think it got into my head because of Al Bundy, I Married with Children. I remember it was like, because, you know, he's like, he didn't even like that damn movie. So something's getting to your head. You're right. It's been mocked.
But it's a treasured movie. I get it. But it's just one of those things. Hell, even Batman and the Joker's Fate or the Christmas with the Joker. He had no intentions of watching It's a Wonderful Life, even though he does. But it's just one of those movies where I'm just like, no, I'm not interested. It does not bother me. I don't care how pissed off, you know. But I guess I'm a hypocrite because I get upset when I find out people haven't watched Scrooged or Jaws or Predator. But It's a Wonderful Life.
That's the thing.
Doesn't
everybody has? No, they do. Everybody has their thing. Real quick, I want to acknowledge JSP in the chat room. He says, if you're into some of the older classics, he said, A Christmas Carol starring Alistair Sims.
I couldn't sit through that one. I quit after Jacob Marley was doing some of the most hammiest acting I'd ever seen in a Scrooge film.
I would have to go back to see that. He said, also Scrooge starring Albert Finney. He said, in an American Christmas Carol starring Henry Winkler. I never even knew that.
My mom has mentioned that film with Henry Winkler so many times that she keeps calling it A Christmas Carol. It's what's it called again?
He said, an American Christmas Carol.
An American Christmas Carol. All right, I'll have to tell her that because she has mentioned that Henry Winkler's version of Scrooge, I mean, for years. But
I've never known that.
I've never seen it. I've just heard people talk about it. So
well, you know what? I'll tell you what.
Not seen that.
Since your mom, well, JSP, since he brought it up and since your mom's acknowledging it, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to watch that. I'll try to make sure I have that watched before Christmas time. And I'll give a shout out to you, JSP, and let you know what I think of it. But I've never heard of it. It's first for me.
Yeah, it may have been a TV movie or something like that. I have no idea.
Well, hopefully I can YouTube it, but... All right, well, now let's shoot it back to Nathan because we got on a rambling thing. So any others that pop into your head action-wise or any other kind of Christmas movies that pop in your head?
I mean, Tyler kind of mentioned like the good chunk of those. Invasion USA, your Cobras, Lethal Weapon. I remember, and maybe like, yeah, they take place during Christmas time in the movies, but I also remember specifically like going out and renting some of these movies with my dad around that time. So maybe that's kind of why we have a connection with it as well. being synonymous with Christmas and always wanting to feel like we want to watch them more around Christmas time. Because I remember the first time I watched Lethal Weapon, my dad had recorded it off of HBO, and I can't remember if I've told this story before or not either, but you know, like that first, what, 5 minutes, there's like a sex scene going on, and like all the gore in the world, because my dad would show me Predator and all this stuff. I'm like 5 or 6 years old. Anytime there was nudity, all he would do, and I could still hear everything too, so it was kind of funny, but he would just like do this. But like I kind of remember it being around like November, December when I watched that, because I remember it being cold outside. I think it had just snowed like a week before. But I think that's kind of what like Tyler was getting at. Like at least for me as a kid, like I watched action movies all the time, but I remember we would always go and rent a decent chunk of stuff because a lot of that stuff would just come out around that time as well. So I don't, Tyler, I don't know if that's kind of the connection you felt with it as a kid that kind of made you feel that way now, instead of looking at them as these are movies that are taking place during Christmas.
I don't know. I guess I've always just kind of thought it was, it was a fun setting for an action movie to take place, because I never really kind of picked up on that a whole lot. At least, I mean, paid attention to it, to like, oh, there's an awful lot of action movies. Like when I saw Cobra as a kid, it didn't register me that this movie takes place at Christmas. It was just like, I was more focused on Stallone stopping the criminal in the supermarket and, the rest of the film. The Lethal Weapon, it didn't quite read like I don't know. I guess I was more focused on the story, not necessarily what was going on in the immediate background, which in a lot of these, Christmas is not the central focus of these films. It's just a backdrop, like for Batman Returns and Ghostbusters 2, First Blood, the first Rambo film takes place at Christmas, but there's no mention of the holiday. But you see Christmas decorations all decked up around Hope, and there's Christmas trees inside the police station when Stallone's being arrested and brought in on charges. And I mean, Gremlins, I think that's like Joe, that's become unanimous with Christmas because the whole film takes place at Christmas. Even Last Action Hero, when the movie opens, it takes place on Christmas Eve, and it's almost like it's a, which I think John McTiernan directed it. I want to say, I can't remember if, God, I hate this. I can't remember Shane Black, who wrote Lethal Weapon, and he did Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which was took place at Christmas time too. But the point being is that they're starting this cliche action film with Arnold taking place on Christmas Eve, and it's just kind of one of those kind of I don't know. For me personally, I just think it's awesome to have an action movie take place at Christmas time. I don't know why. I just think it's fun that it's more about saving the day, getting the girl, and saving the orphanage of kids or something like that from the bad guy or something
They
like
just
that.
work.
Now,
It's like I said, they just work. Because, we're used to so many of the typical, Christmas happy movies. So
it adds an extra layer of, go back to Invasion USA. When Rostov goes to that neighborhood and starts blowing up houses with families putting
That
their
was
babies
freaky.
up, dude,
Yeah.
that is seriously effed up,
That's what I
and.
mean. It catches your attention. Something that you do not see in reality. When that's happening, it's like, oh my God. So you're immediately sucked in because that ain't the Christmas you're experiencing at home with your family. So that's what is something a little more exciting about the action ones. I mean, again, I love all of them in general. But yeah, I remember with those families and the houses getting blown up, I was like, did I just witness this? Did I just see these houses with these people get killed? So it's a shocker. But also wanted to acknowledge Jackie Miller and Cassandra Prock. They're in the chat room. Thank you for joining us. And Jackie
For joining
Miller's,
us.
yeah, and also Jackie Miller said, and I'll be honest, Jackie, it was recently, maybe within the past couple years, where I've seen this because I couldn't remember as a kid. But Jackie brought up the S Star Wars, the holiday special,
I still have
1979.
not seen that. I have never seen
Ooh, wow. Okay, well, here's the thing, I
I'm a
was
Star
probably.
Wars fan. I mean, I
Yeah, I was, like I said, I was a youngster, maybe, or I can't remember how old I was when that was out, so I don't remember it. But I seen that a couple of years ago, and I can see why George Lucas just does not want to acknowledge the existence. What a wretched, wretched movie. I mean, from the nonsense scene parts to the parts where you have, you know, Chewie's family, the Wookiees, they're all speaking in their language with subtitles. It was just the biggest, hottest mess of garbage. But you know what? I guarantee if that thing came out officially on DVD, every Star Wars fan would probably buy it just to either see it out of curiosity or just say, I got this piece of crap in my collection. And you know, I can't be mean. There might be Star Wars fans that love it, just like how I like the He-Man She-Ra Christmas special. Others might hate it, so maybe there are the lovers.
You know damn well, Star Wars fans buy anything with the logo put on it, you know. And the Christmas special, it's been the legendary bootleg for so long. If it were to get an official release and Mark Hamill was the, like, they interview Mark Hamill about the Christmas special, you know, I mean, yeah, hell, I would buy it, you know, just to hear Mark Hamill's views on, which if he probably hasn't already, you know, shared his opinions on it anyway, but.
Because it's on YouTube, just to let people know that, yeah, the Star Wars Christmas special, that is on YouTube, and you can watch it in its whole hot mess entirety. You can't see it. So, I was going to say, Jackie Miller brought up another good one. I don't know why this left my head. It's family, it's comedy, but slight action and Jingle All the Way. Oh, God, yeah, I love Jingle All the Way. Anytime that comes on, I love that damn movie, the obsession to get Turbo Man, the fight that Arnold and Sinbad had for that whole damn movie to just acquire this holy grail of a figure. Who didn't? I know I loved it. I don't know about you two, but love Jingle All the Way.
Nope.
What?
No.
What?
Sorry.
Nope. You don't like Jingle All the Way? No,
man, I don't like it. Tyler, I can't remember your opinion on it specifically. I'm gonna say Tyler's a no on this one.
I love that damn movie.
I mean, Arnold's my favorite actor, but it's a movie that I do own. I've seen it enough, like several times, enough where I could, you know, quote a lot of the movie back. But it's not a. And I blame it on, it's not like it didn't have, you got Arnold, you got Rita Wilson playing his wife who looks hot as hell in the movie. You got Phil Hartman, who you know, is good in everything. Sinbad was good too. Jake Lloyd being obnoxious as hell, you know. But I it's more about the dialogue in the movie, not the story, not the cast that they put in. It's the dialogue. When they got Arnold pretending to do the kung fu thing and,
I know that part you're talking about.
Some of it is just it's too hammy to the point where you're like, dude, I can't. That's too much. And I hate saying that, but I've come to a point in my life where I'm like, look, I can admit if something that Arnold and Stallone did that I did not appreciate, I shouldn't be ashamed to sit there and say, oh no, I still enjoyed it because I'm too scared to admit that. You know what? Not everything they did was great. The majority of it was, but Jingle All the Way. Not that it's a. You know, it's not
just June. Say it sucks, Tyler. Just say it sucks.
I can't say it's a god awful movie, but it's too campy to the point where, you know, it's not something. Christmas Eve this year, my dad comes over to visit. If he said, hey, you want to watch Jingle All the Way? I would gladly sit down. Yeah, sure, we'll watch Jingle All the Way. No problem. But it does. It's got just too many silly lines of dialogue in the movie that I just roll my eyes at. And, you know, I can appreciate a good, you know, B movie or a movie that's obviously his. And I told Nathan this, we'll touch back on it on another episode. But the Street Fighter movie, I've kind of come to terms with. And, like, you know what? I enjoy it for what it is and not feel the need to roll my eyes at certain moments because I'm like, you know what? I can still enjoy this movie. Maybe it's the same thing with Jingle All the Way. Maybe I've got to sit down and watch it again because it does have some good stuff in it. It's just, you know, a lot of really silly dialogue.
No, I mean, I can understand.
I don't ever want to see Arnold saying.
I understand that. You're right. There are some silly dialogue parts, a little extra campy. You can obviously tell it was more, you know, geared towards kids.
Family's going out. It's not meant for the quintessential Arnold fan who's, you know,
yeah, it's for kids. It really is
his mouth and blowing people away.
Yeah. Right, family and kid-centric. It definitely is. And I can see how it works for the holidays and for Christmas. I can understand that. But you're right. I mean, if you're getting different impressions of Arnold, it might not be your cup of tea. Just like you said, when you said Junior, oh, God, that movie, I just hate Junior. I've seen it once. I was like, I can never watch that movie again. It was so off and strange. I was like, this isn't Arnold. And plus, I just didn't like the movie. It just, I love Danny DeVito and Arnold's chemistry in Twins, but oh God, not Junior. Awesome. Yeah, but when it comes to Junior, I was like, I can't do this, Junior. But no, I mean, Jingle All the Way, I mean, it works for what it is. I mean, yes, I enjoyed it. And like I said, a lot of corny lines, but still, I mean, still a fun movie. So I definitely get into that. And just to think, to move from that to when you were talking, I thought you mentioned Batman Returns. Maybe you didn't, but.
Did I?
But Batman Returns, I mean, not only just the Christmas feel, because like I said, around Christmas time, but I love the music in that damn movie.
Oh, man,
just,
Danny Elfman's score throughout that movie.
It's creepy, but it sucks you in. It's creepy and atmospheric. And no, I'm not going into a contest, but I remember playing Batman Returns on the Sega CD. Shut up.
I swear to God, if you mention another damn contest.
No, it's not a contest. But Batman Returns on the Sega CD. They had the actual soundtrack to the movie. So beyond playing the action levels, there's the driving levels where you can use like the Batmobile. You can be in the flying Batmobile. Oh God, I don't even know what the hell it is. I'm a moron. Batwing. Okay, and then the one that went on the water, whatever that was.
That was in the sewer. Yeah. God, I can't remember the technical term for it because I wanted the movie toy line came out for that.
Well, whatever it was, they used it. But yeah, I just love that atmospheric music of that. But anyways, into the movie, yeah, it sucks you in. But yeah, it feels holiday-like. I loved it. And the creepiness of just seeing Danny DeVito as, you know, the Penguin. I mean, he looked, you know, a lot of gross parts, but it's still something you like. You know, just seeing when, you know, he's eating the fish, when he bites the guy's nose and the blood squirts everywhere. You know, it's something you think, oh God, that's not really holiday-like, but I don't know. I just like the whole damn movie. Batman Returns if that's on around the holidays, which for whatever reason, I don't see that a lot around Christmas time.
I don't like this channel, but sometimes they will play okay ones. But like ABC Family, I think a lot of times they'll advertise Batman Returns as part of their 25 Days of Christmas.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Now, I haven't watched it, and I haven't, you know, I saw a commercial playing for that at the gym, and of course they were advertising Elf and, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas, which is fine too. But I want to say I thought maybe in past years they had played Batman Returns, but God, man, I love watching Batman Returns at Christmas. I mean, that Die Hard to me is a movie I can watch year round. But the moments of like when Batman is on patrol at night and he's going through Gotham real slowly through the snow and stops at City Hall and sees Penguin and the snow's coming down over the windshield of the Batmobile and he's just like, I don't, you know, that look on his face like he doesn't trust the Penguin. He knows he's up to something, and it's just so atmospheric with the music.
Yeah.
Excuse me, in the snow and everything. It's just beautiful looking.
The sets that they did, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the sets they did to build the main square of Gotham. And, of course, when the Red Triangle Gang comes in and just attacks, you know, the big lighting of the tree ceremony. And to see Wayne Manor in the snow and the new bat signal. And here comes Batman ready to kick everyone's ass. You know, it's just awesome, you know. I mean, all of the Penguin's gang, like the motorcyclists with the big skeleton heads.
Oh, those were cool. Yeah.
God, man, and the flame, the guy who blew all the flames, dressed up like a devil,
and that woman with that little dog,
machine gun. What's that?
I said, and that woman, even with that one dog, how she was in the movie.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, the Poodle Lady. I think she's called Poodle Lady or something like that. But
she actually did.
That and all the various fights, like when the Red Triangle Gang starts attacking the random stores in Gotham, and Batman shows up, just kick all their asses in the streets. And then when he confronts Penguin, the music, and you got snow on the ground. I mean, it just looks beautiful. And then Catwoman shows up, and oh my God, it's just so. And the final shot of the film too, when it pans up, the bat signal comes on and it's snowing, and then Catwoman raises her head.
Yeah.
God, I'm going to watch Batman Returns this weekend.
Yeah, you know what? I'm probably
going to do the same.
Actually. Yeah, because
man, it's such a badass movie.
And that's what sucks, though, is what you just said there, how she, you know, pans up and she looks and you see Catwoman, like, oh, yeah, she's still alive. And then we went to all those crap Batmans after that. Oh, God, I hated it. It's like, that's the last time I really enjoyed Batman was Batman Returns. Once it went to the other ones with Val Kilmer and George Clooney.
Val Kilmer did an excellent job.
I still didn't.
Bad movie.
I just, just a bad movie. But George Clooney, I hated his acting. I hated the movie in general. And I'm not much, you know, for Christian Bale and the other ones, but that's a whole
nother. I don't like Christian Bale as Batman. I don't.
Another side rant, but yeah, didn't mean to cut you off. But go ahead, Nathan. You were
talking. Give us some thoughts on Batman Returns here. I'm about ready to blow my load here over Batman Returns here, man.
Batman Returns is like the best of Tim Burton for me. I'm probably going to go on a Tim Burton rant for a little bit, but like, you know, between Edward Scissorhands, Beetlejuice, Pee-wee, Batman Returns, and even like Ed Wood and Mars Attacks, I would say anything after that. I mean, Big Fish is good,
Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, yeah, but you could kind of see like just this downturn with him. Like I don't know how to explain it really, but with Batman Returns, it's kind of like just the it's perfect with his style.
It is.
I always think it's interesting that there's a lot of people that don't like Batman Returns because they're like, well, Batman's not in it that much. And I'm like, well, I mean, okay, but that's not the central focus of the story, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like Sam Raimi should have taken notes on, like, because he was constantly wanting you to, like, feel sympathy for all these villains in the Spider-Man movies. But, like, Batman Returns nailed it. Like, you know, they had that villain quality to them, but they also have this terrible backstory that you just latch onto. Like at the end when, you know, Penguin's like floating and all the Penguins are there like all sad, like as a kid, like that got to me.
Yeah, that was sad. Still is sad.
So yeah, but everything else you guys have already touched on, like the cinematography, and it's great, you know, having the snow and Christmas as a backdrop to it. Michelle Pfeiffer is amazing as Catwoman. I had like the hugest crush on her. The hugest crush as a kid. Like at the end when her mask is like tearing off and like her blonde hair's coming out. Yeah, as a kid, I was just like, oh my God, this is super sexy.
Exactly. Jeez. And she was hot. It's like, man, I wanted to kick my ass. I mean, my God. Like, hair kind of out, the face showing. It's like, yeah, I can deal with that. So, yeah, and plus that outfit. Jesus. Good God. Yeah, then.
I mean that's why as an adult I realized, you know, or as a young teen when I, you know, you learn more about the backstories of comic book characters, even though that movie, it could not be more far away from the origins of Penguin and Catwoman, I still love it because everything I like the acting, I like their portrayal of it. Yeah, that it couldn't be the furthest thing away from Penguin and Catwoman, but damn it, man, Michelle Pfeiffer buries Anne Hathaway. Of course, everybody buries Holly Berry, and I still like Julie Newmar and Lee Merriweather and Eartha Kitt as Catwoman. They're in a separate hall. Michelle Pfeiffer is by far, you know, and I think some people will say the same thing. You can say what you want about Batman Returns, but I think everybody universally likes Michelle Pfeiffer's portrayal.
Oh, it was great. I wanted to say one quick thing. I just wanted to acknowledge Jeremy James DeWitt. He's in the chat room. Thank you for joining us. So he's here as well. And no, real quick, when you were talking about Michelle Pfeiffer, yeah, I mean, she's at least to me, one, you know, one of the hottest. Anne Hathaway could care less. I'll say one thing. Catwoman. Yeah, the movie Catwoman. I hated the movie, but I did like seeing Halle Berry, you know, in her outfit too. I mean, she's hot to look at, but the movie, yeah, the movie was a hot mess. It was not really that good. But, yeah, she's definitely eye candy, but no, when it comes to Michelle Pfeiffer, not only eye candy, but she just felt like Catwoman. She really sucked that role in, you know. I mean, oh, wasn't it? Didn't we find out that she was trained with the whip by
Anthony DeLonge's Blade?
Yeah, Anthony. So hey, I mean, I guess if anybody's the perfect master of the whip, it's him, and he taught her, and she used it quite well. So. And she was pretty much, to me, she's one of the definitive cat women that I've ever seen.
And see, as we're touching on this, to play off what Joe just said and what Nathan said earlier, what comic book movies today don't seem to get right that Tim Burton's two Batman films got right is that Penguin had a tragic backstory, but
did you lose Tyler, Nathan?
I'm back. Oh, there we go.
Okay, we got you.
Okay. All right. Can you guys see me?
Can't see you.
Can see you.
You can?
No.
Ah, damn it. Hang on here.
Okay. See, Tyler was getting excited there. He's starting to have an impact.
No, I got a phone call on my phone, you know.
Oh, so I know.
I'm trying to figure out how to turn my camera back on.
Okay. Well, either way, we can still at least.
There we go.
There you go.
All right. Anyway, what I was saying was that with Penguin's backstory and Catwoman's tragic story of like she's, you know, smacked around and disregarded. Penguin was abandoned as a child, and pretty much his parents were going to essentially kill him. Pee Wee Herman and the waitress from Pee Wee's Big Adventure were going to kill their own child. How messed up is that? But anyway, right. At the end of the movie, Penguin's still giving middle fingers to everybody. He's not redeemable, and Catwoman gives Batman the middle finger as well. And I mean, there is no redeeming Green Goblin, Doctor Octopus, Sandman story that Sam Raimi did with his three Spider-Man films. Damn it, man! I don't want the villains to be sympathetic.
Right.
And that was what was so good about Tim Burton's two Batman films, that even though you feel bad for Penguin's initial backstory, when Batman sees him in City Hall and he's writing stuff, just constantly, and you find out he's writing down the names of all the firstborn kids of Gotham. That if his plan goes awry, he's going to have all of them kill. All these mm-hmm. children he's going to kill, like drown them or
that's right.
Who knows what. You know, and just, you know, God, man, that's villainy. That when the plan doesn't go right, he decides, no, the hell with this. That, you know, I'm going to kill all these people, take down Gotham. And, you know, even though he dies at the end and the penguins come out and you know, as pallbearers and push him into the water, that's sad. You know, I'm like, the Penguin was a complete asshole in the movie.
No, you're right. I mean, they made him evil all the way through. And what's great is, you know, even, you know, just like when Nathan was saying earlier, there's a lot of fans who maybe aren't a big fan of Batman Returns or the first Batman because they say, well, that's not the real story of the Penguin.
And I said that all these people are dumb as hell. Just said they're.
Well, I know. Well, like I said, you're right. Exactly. No, because like you said, they might say, oh, that's not the real story of the Penguin. And that's not the real story of the Joker. Because, you know, how they said that's not how, you know, Batman, he didn't lose his parents that way. It was really Joe Chill. It wasn't the Joker. But you know what, though? He still put a very good twist and made a great movie. And it sucked you in. You liked it. And again, maybe, yes, it's a different canon. But as we know with a lot of things, which we won't get into, there's many canons to some properties. And
there is, yes. Man, I could tear the Nolan films apart. Aside from the few things they did get right, man. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff they didn't get right. So, you know,
sure, you're always going to have fans and haters of anything. But no, I can absolutely say. I mean, I just love the first Batman and then Batman Returns. Just love them, and I'm not a fan of any of the Batmans after that. You know, and there's fans that probably absolutely love those and hate the originals. But I don't know. I guess I love the portrayal of Michael Keaton as Batman himself anyways.
He just has the best face, not to mention the best voice for Batman, where he just speaks low and soft but deep. You know, he doesn't have to talk. And as a kid, Nathan mentioned this too, about some people were bitching that Batman's barely in the movie. Well, as a kid, I saw that. But as an adult, I like that. I like that a lot because when Batman does show up, it's impactful. When he shows up to stop the Red Triangle Gang during those two big fights, when he goes to save the Ice Princess, and look, he's been framed for murder. You know, there's all these big moments of when Batman does show up, it counts. You know, and you just, you know, and even in the first film, he's not in it a whole lot.
Think of that. But, think of any movie. I mean, half the time you don't see the main character all the time. There's always other stories that go on. Hell, even reading the comics, you're not going to see Batman in every single panel. There's other things going on. So I don't know. When people say that, it's like, what, do you want him on every damn page of the comic? Do you want him in every scene of the movie? You're right. It's overkill. I don't want to see this character all the time because then it loses the impact when he makes his appearance to come save the day or do anything. Yeah, you have to space out. I mean, that's called storytelling. You don't want to have the character all the time. It'd be too much of it. Same thing in a horror movie. You don't want to see the killer all the time. Those parts when he shows up and bam, gets somebody. That's what makes it even more frightening. If I see him the whole time, it's like, oh, there he is. What's he going to do? So, yeah, it's a shame. I never heard that. I mean, until what you just said, Nathan, I never knew there was people that complained saying, hey, I didn't see enough of Batman. I thought it was perfectly
good. Yeah, the documentary for the
film. Yeah, I don't. What are you saying, Paul? Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that it's mentioned in the documentary for Batman Returns that they, that Burton and I think Daniel Waters, who wrote the screenplay that I think was the final film, both acknowledged that people had complained that Batman wasn't around much in the first film and even in the second film. And, you know, Tim Burton saw it as that, what, you know, we can't have, he just didn't feel the need to have Batman walk around giving a lot of large speeches and stuff like that. Especially when Michael Keaton comes in, is like, okay, I played it the first time, take away this line and take away this line, take away that line. And, you know, Michael doesn't say a whole lot as Batman in the film. Like when you first see him as Batman, when Michelle Pfeiffer thanks him, he just, you know, looks at her and turns and walks away. Commissioner Gordon starts talking to him and the mayor. He says, we'll see. And that's it. He does. He's not. I like that a lot. Works. That Michael Keaton's Batman doesn't have to say anything. His actions sell Batman. You know, the look in his face when he's looking at Michelle Pfeiffer, you know, he's probably thinking, God, she's hot. But he's not breaking kayfabe amongst superheroes, you know?
Well, go ahead, Nathan.
Those first two Batman films to me are like perfect. And it's not just because they were the first two or I had nostalgia for them as a kid. Like if I go back and I watch those and I go back and I watch the Nolan films, like I'm always going to choose the Burton ones every time. Like, because that's the thing that comic book movies struggle with. I know we're just like straying further and further away from this, but like Marvel's done a pretty good job so far of wanting to, you know, keep it fun and smooth. But like, I don't know. I feel like comic book movies have gotten too serious now. Stick too much to the source material, and like that's all fine and good and everything. But I don't know. It's like, I wish, go back, watch Batman Returns, like take notes. This is how you need to do it.
Yeah, and hell, half the time they ain't even really sticking with source material with these new movies. They're even going straying off into a whole nother direction. But I think sometimes it's just too much backstory with some of these characters. They make it so boring. It's like, okay, do I have to see every single bit of what makes him want to do this and do that? Can we just like do a quick little 5-minute thing at the beginning? Bam, he's the hero. Let's get into the action. I think sometimes they just drag it on and on. Or like those Spider-Man movies, the ones that had Tobey Maguire. It's like, okay, every time it's always about Mary Jane and oh, she's got caught again. Oh, she got caught again. It's like, can we have it be more about the villains and having some action and some fights and not her all the time always having to pop into these damn things? But maybe that's what some people like, is always the damsel in distress getting captured.
Well, I like that Kirsten Dunst's Mary Jane is like, dude, drop her. You know, I couldn't stand her in all three films. You know, there was nothing likable about her Mary Jane. So yeah, when you don't like the damsel in distress, that takes an element away. I didn't like the redeeming villains at the end of the movie. And I appreciate that Sam did stick essentially to the source material for a lot of the stuff, but not all of it. You know, when you have essentially what should have been a great Green Goblin story with a god-awful suit, you know, the mannerisms that Willem Dafoe was doing in the suit, it's silly and hokey. Tobey Maguire looked the part, but he couldn't be Spider-Man. It's just like his voice is Spider-Man. God, man.
Oh, that was off. No, you're right. He killed, in my opinion, Spider-Man, the character, was killed right when that shit came out of his wrist. I'm like, no, you just destroyed the character of Peter Parker, who's a genius, who invented the web shooters. Yeah. Now you're taking away all his other spots when he's stopping certain villains by making special different type of webbing. Now he's got the stupid stuff coming out of his wrist. I was like, I hated it from the get-go. But that was, you're right, that's a side rant, so we'll do that. We'll do another comic one some other time. But yeah, we'll try to get back to maybe some other Christmas movies, because we pretty much hit all the main ones when we're talking about all the holiday ones. I mean, we could always talk about Silent Night, Deadly Night, but then that's a horror one. Maybe that's not everybody's cup of tea. It's campy. It's horror-like. And I'd hope that Nathan, since you're a B horror movie character, please tell me you've at least seen Silent Night, Deadly Night, maybe.
Garbage. Yeah,
no, hey, that's part two, Tyler.
I know it's part two, but that's the only line
part
I know.
No, I've watched that one. There's also, they did a remake too that I got for real cheap that I still need to sit down and watch. That'll probably be on my list. But no, I love all the Christmas horror films, like Black Christmas, which is almost like the precursor to Halloween in regards to like the POV shot. And it's also funny to tie it all together. A lot of people may or may not know this, but the guy that directed Black Christmas was also the same person that directed Christmas Story. So here you have like these two.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, really? Wow.
Forgot about
yeah.
that.
Yeah. But no, Joe, have you seen Black Christmas?
No, I haven't seen Black Christmas. No.
Oh. Yeah, no, this, let's see, Halloween came out, what, 78? 77? Yeah. Black Christmas came out, I want to say 74, and it,
I hope I can YouTube it. Do you know if you can YouTube that? Because I'll definitely try it when we're done.
I am not sure.
Okay.
But,
the remake?
The remake, I would probably give the remake a shot. The cast list in that looked kind of okay. That'd be something I'd give a shot to, but, in the original, it's got a lot of the POV shots from the killer, and like he's kind of like hanging out outside, and then like then he's in the house, and then you know he makes a phone call from inside the house to the
girl
there, and it's there's one scene in particular when they're talking to him on the phone that like it's actually really creepy because he's sounding all goofy on the phone and making all these noises, and then like he just stops and. Seriously, he's just like, I'm gonna kill all of you, and then like hangs up. And like, whoa!
You know what? When we're done, I'm gonna try to YouTube this when we're done talking. Because if it's on YouTube, I'm watching. I gotta see that. I'd love that.
Oh, no, you should. Like it's a really cool horror film.
Okay, well, you know me, I love horror just like you. Also, real quick, JSP said that Black Christmas is directed by Bob Clark. He said he also directed Porky's. So hey, there's another another one.
There we go.
Directed Porky's. I never did put that together.
And that was starring, he said, Margot Kidder?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you got Margot Kidder, and then I can't remember her name, but she played in that that 60s version of Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, wasn't she also John Boy's wife in It, the TV version of It?
I think so.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure, yeah, that if you've seen the original It, the lady that plays John Boy's wife, Bill, the stutterer in It, his wife in that is in Black Christmas.
Oh, really? Okay. And Jackie Miller just said it is on YouTube. So, well, thank you for letting me know, Jackie.
There you go.
Yeah, and thank you for telling me that, Nathan, because yes, when we're done, I'm going to be popping that on later. I'm going to have to watch this. You know me, I'm a sucker for horror movies, especially if it's a holiday or Christmas one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll watch a Christmas horror movie. But yeah, there hasn't been new ones, though. Like, I haven't seen many interesting ones. I think, didn't they try, like, Krampus or something?
Krampus.
Yeah, they tried that. It's like, that was kind of okay, but just a little, not what I was expecting. I did watch it. I don't know if either of you have seen that, but.
Yeah. I appreciated the.
Effort?
the practical effects. You know, the practical effects in it were really good. It's one of those things where can't remember the runtime of it, but it felt like it was a little long. By the end, you were kind of just ready for it to be over with.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the effort that they put into it. Like, it looks great. The practical effects are really cool. Like, the puppets and everything that they used in it are fantastic. It had that feel of, like, an 80s, like, Gremlins-esque. But it didn't quite hit all those marks for me.
Yeah, I just didn't want to go back to watch it again. And also, to JSP, he must not have caught it at the exact beginning, but he just said he hasn't seen it yet, but he said Bill Goldberg was in a movie called Santa's Sleigh. Well, we did mention that, JSP. We said that right at the beginning, and I have that on DVD. And yeah, that he says it's way too campy, but no, I did enjoy that. So that was a good movie to watch. But yeah, there's so, like I said, that's a lot of them. I can't really, off the top of my head, think of more. I mean, Tyler, I don't know if you have any others.
Ghostbusters 2. It's a movie we've quoted on Fans of Power countless times.
Do you get a Christmas feel from it, though, when you...
Do I get a Christmas feel from it?
I like it, but I don't know. I guess I don't get a Christmas... Like,
the entire movie, all the way up to the very end, of course, that takes place on New Year's Eve. You know, it's all Christmas. I mean, there's, you know, Christmas references. The Ghostbusters in the montage are running around with Santa hats on their head, and... And I mean, it's there's Christmas trees on the place, there's Christmas decorations and things like that. It's a Christmas film, man.
I don't know. I don't get me wrong. I like Ghostbusters 2, but I just never got the Christmas vibe on
no
it.
No wonder you were ducking it when I mentioned Ghostbusters 2 earlier in this.
Yeah.
Joe had a motive.
Because I'm not being mean. I mean, hell, you could like it, but I didn't get.
Oh, okay. I got one for you.
Okay.
All right. Since Joe's in the horror mood, how about Jaws the Revenge?
And this is what you're going to hate. I told you, I've seen Jaws 1.
Oh, God, I forgot. Joe has said he's never seen Jaws the Revenge. I forgot about that. That's right.
I got to Netflix them suckers. I think they're all on Netflix, but.
Yeah, they are. They're all four on Netflix. God, man. And I love Jaws 4. I don't give a shit. It's a fun, silly shark movie. And based on what the Sci-Fi Channel has been, you know, dumping, you know, for the last 15, 20 years, Jaws of Revenge is classic theater in comparison, you know. At least the acting's good in it. Yes, it's silly for a shark to be running around, following people and screaming like Grandmere the Dragon from He-Man. But it's still a fun, silly shark movie that takes place at Christmas. I mean, hell, when Sean... Oh, wait, I just get... I'm ready to start spoiling stuff, right, for Joe, right there on the spot.
Yeah, I'll have to see it. I'll definitely have to see Jaws.
All right, well, Nathan, when's the last time you've seen Jaws the Revenge?
It's been a really long time. I think like the first time you recommended it to me. So man, that's probably been about 14.
Well over 10 years ago.
Yeah. But Tyler, you're probably gonna hate me a little bit, but I'm gonna kind of agree with Joe. Like I don't get with Ghostbusters 2.
Really?
I don't get the Christmas vibe from it.
Oh man, I can't.
But I will say that I did see Ghostbusters 2 before I saw the first one.
Oh, did
really?
You?
Really?
Yeah, wow. Because like when you think of the release window of when Ghostbusters 2 came out, that's like right when I was in the middle of like constantly watching the cartoon.
Well, I'm curious. Do you like 2 better than 1 or 1 better than 2? Because, you know, sometimes people's impressions of what they see first makes them like something. I hear so many people say, I don't really like 2. I love them both equally, pretty much. But I was curious.
I like 1 better than 2, but I love 2 wholeheartedly, passionately. Like, I'm ready to duke it out with people who like to slam part 2.
I love them both equally. To me, it's kind of one of those, like... I think I said it before, you know, it's one of those movies that you can just watch back to back.
Yeah.
At any point in time. But there is some truth to that, because seeing that first as a kid for a while, I honestly did prefer 2 over 1.
Like, it's unique. I always like hearing those stories.
Yeah, because I've always been more inclined to watch Escape from LA over Escape from New York, because that's the first one I saw. I loved Escape from L.A. I like Escape from New York. It's a great film, but, you know, Escape from L.A. and Gremlins 1 and 2. I saw Gremlins 2 before I saw the first one.
So do you like 2 more than 1, or what would you say?
I would probably, if you were to ask me if I, you know, to go watch a Gremlins film, I would probably pick the second one.
Yeah, because you know what's weird? Now, I love 1, and I was not really a fan of 2, but then when I hear some people say who've seen part 2 first, they say, well, Joe, I like the assortment of the gremlins in general. They're definitely more memorable. I mean, you know, in the first Gremlins, you definitely, you had Stripe. I mean, it's Stripe. But all the other ones, they were just basically cannon fodder. But when you come to part 2 of Gremlins,
George and Mohawk, and you got the female gremlin, you get the one made out of vegetables, and the one made
electricity
out of
and
the bat wings.
I can see that. That'll be definitely a conversation one day. We'll have our Gremlins 1 and 2 one. But, oh, Jesus, I think that's pretty much all the Christmas ones that I can think of right now. I mean, like I said, we'll eventually, within the weeks, get into Christmas TV specials and anything. But, well, I'd say, I guess, you know, unless you had other ones you could think of, Nathan.
How about Rocky IV? Excuse me. Rocky IV. Just one last one. Rocky IV Christmas movie for you guys?
Well, like I said, I mean, in an Italian family...
The fight takes place on Christmas Day.
Okay, it does. Now, here's the thing. In an Italian family, we got to see these damn Rocky movies. We are very judgmental of them. We get too damn attached, like we're related to Rocky. We're into this. We feel emotional when anytime somebody's dead and you want to see Rocky just beat the piss out of whoever just killed this person or caused the death of this person. So we're more set on the revenge of goddamn Rocky, just go ahead, train and beat the living crap out of, you know, Drago. You know, so I wasn't thinking Christmas at all. I was not sure. It's like you said, around Christmas, but that was the furthest thing from my mind. And still, anytime I watch Rocky, It's just this adrenaline. It's a rush of revenge of wanting to see Rocky beat the hell out of somebody. So I, unfortunately, because of that aspect, don't get a Christmas feel, even if it is at Christmas. But Nathan probably has an absolute different impression than I do.
I don't really feel Christmas with it either. I mean, you know, you got those couple scenes too where they like it goes back to the house and they're sitting there around the TV and, you know, robots going around with the Santa hat on and everything. And, you know, when that scene comes up, I'm like, oh, yeah, Christmas. Like, oh, yeah, warm fuzzies and whatnot. But no, I don't really get a Christmas vibe from Rocky IV. I'm going to agree with Joel on this one too. I kind of, for me, it's more about, you know, the revenge aspect of it, ready for Rocky to come back and kick Drago's ass.
Yeah, there you go. And that was like, damn it. No, and that's why I told you I hated when Dolph Lundgren.
Jaws of Revenge. We wouldn't have this consistent of you two tag teaming on me
here. No, sorry, no. I did actually don't mean it's not a tag team, but no, it's and that's why I always say I always hated seeing Dolph Lundgren as He-Man. I had this vendetta against him immediately, thinking that's the guy that killed Apollo. So I immediately hated him. It took a while for me to stomach Dolph Lundgren as He-Man. So that's a whole separate thing too. But all right, well, Tyler, what do you want to say before we wrap it up, and then go ahead to Nathan? Because yeah, this one was got a little pumped up and emotional at points.
Gosh, yeah, I kind of feel like the I'm kind of inflated here from all this kind of debating and just getting excited over this stuff here. You know, it took a while after you all decided to, you know, go off and start talking about your own personal Christmases.
Yeah. Don't be jealous of our stories, man.
Yeah, I was just like deflated, like Ed Bighead on Rocky. I mean, Rocko's Modern Life. Just kind of just deflating my seat, waiting for you two to like, okay, can we stop now? well, since you guys shared your stories, I didn't think I was going to get Allen Iverson's shoes for Christmas because my dad said they didn't have them at the store anymore, that they were sold out. So come Christmas.
Well, guys, that's all the time we have this week. Be sure to
see the hell you. I got my Allen Iverson shoes. The first ones, the black and gold, for Christmas 1998. By God, man, I was the envy of eighth grade. Even the preppy guys are like, man, I like the white ones better. You know, just because they were jealous because I had the black and gold Iversons and nobody else had them, the sons of bitches.
So how did he surprise you with them, though? I mean, were they hidden somewhere when you got
them? Oh, no, when I asked him for, you know, we went to Finish Line in Roanoke and I was like, I want those. And my dad told me after he picked me up or picked us up for the weekend, said that, well, I went to go get the shoes, Tyler, and they were sold out of the Allen Iversons, but they would get them back in soon. So come Christmas morning, he hands me this box and like... So on top of that, I got Allen Iverson shorts and an Allen Iverson t-shirt. And we went out Christmas morning to a local basketball court. I'm playing in freezing cold weather. I'm like, yeah, man, I'm the answer, man. It was That's awesome.
Great. Yeah, where awesome. I grew up, you people were always getting jumped for their Jordans and stuff. So people were real protective of their shoes where I grew up.
Yeah. Got my ass stomped in the ground for my Iversons, probably in your neighborhood, probably.
No, it's no doubt. So, yeah, people usually were running, getting in the house. Yeah, you felt great at school. You were sometimes scared, but you just wanted to get home and then just change into something else. But, all right.
I can see why Tyler is jealous of our stories, because our stories were better.
There you go. All right.
Whatever, man.
No, that's pretty cool.
I can one-up you guys when I got all four of the original Ghostbusters, Ecto-1, and Stay Puft Marshmallow in the plus Fisto, Hordak, Whiplash, Cobra Khan, and Hordak, all for Christmas 1987, man. You guys
so didn't see that. You were a spoiled kid. That's basically what you're saying. Okay, just rub it in our face.
My brother was born. As soon as my brother was born, well, we both had equally great Christmases, too. So,
yeah, no, just if rub we're it in our faces.
Part of like great Christmases, I can stomp both you guys in the ground. I can bury you deeper than Triple H.
Go ahead, rub it both in our faces.
In the
I
same
want you-
discussion.
I want you to do a rub it in our faces of how well off you are and how we
yes,
didn't have
I got the New Adventures Power Sword from the New Adventures of He-Man Power Sword for Christmas. The following year, I got the dress up outfit with the armor and shield and sword. You know, you didn't have that. Neither one of you had that. And then
I think
and then,
we broke them a little bit.
My Batman so movie sad. Book, along with a wide assortment of Ninja Turtle action figures. Neither one of you guys got that. I still got the Batman movie book in my room in the den in here.
That's pretty cold. All right. I used to have hot sauce sandwiches. You ever have those? A hot sauce sandwich? I would take the containers from Taco Bell. We'd get a whole bunch of hot sauce, go home, and when there's nothing to have, we'd just have bread, and I'd pour hot sauce over and eat it. So there, if that makes you feel any better, Tyler.
Solidarity, brother. Hot dog sandwiches.
There you go.
See? I've had hot dog sandwiches before too, so don't act like you got something on me because you know.
Have you had hot sauce? So have you had hot sauce sandwiches? Just bread with hot sauce.
I had a hot dog with ketchup on between two slices of bread because we were out of hot dog buns.
And you had
remarked about it. My dad snapped at me for it.
Wait, so you had meat? You had meat? I'm still saying I had bread and a pack of hot sauce.
I don't like hot sauce. I never liked hot sauce.
Yeah, okay. Well, we have to learn to love it.
One time me and my brother were acting up, and my dad said, all right, if you guys don't pipe down, I'm going to give you nothing but bread and water for dinner. He used to joke about bread and water. It's all you get in prison. Sure enough, by God, my dad only gave us bread and water, and that was it.
About damn time you had to live like me for once. All right, Nathan, I'm going to pass it to you. How do you want to wrap this up?
Where else can I go after hot dog sandwiches?
Oh, we talk about how Nathan got the Ghostbusters play firehouse, and how he got the Ninja Turtles playset, and they're like, I don't really want this, people. You know, oh, and how he got, you know, why some of the Ninja Turtle action figures, and how he got the Batmobile and the Batwing. He still kept all the boxes, and he didn't ask for any of it for Christmas, but he got it instead.
Hey, no, that's a lie. I asked for all that stuff for Christmas, and my parents were awesome enough to get me all that stuff for Christmas, even when my dad got laid off and money was very scarce.
That's pretty cool.
I know.
Yeah. But anyway, we got to wrap up this episode. So, man. I had something in my head, and then I got distracted about all of Tyler's awesome Christmases and being the answer and hot dog sandwiches.
Yeah.
Man, what was I going to say? Shit.
You need to get right out of your head.
Hey, I got the Space Jam toys for Christmas one year, too, and Point Break. I'm like, Santa Claus brought me a rated R movie for Christmas.
Space Jam toys? Oh, God, this would have to be a separate podcast, too, just the toys we got. But Space Jam, oh, boy.
Oh, man, yeah, I had pretty much all the Monstars except the little red one that Muggsy Bogues had his soul stolen from.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, Tyler, why don't you try to wrap it up, and while you're doing it, maybe Nathan will be able to think of something as then his closing remarks.
Yeah. So when you guys are trying to figure out a way to trump me, and I still got a whole arsenal of other Christmases I can tell you about. Anyway, if you enjoyed this episode, all our episodes are shared on all of our various Facebook pages and on the Beyond Retro Facebook page. Also on YouTube, just like Beyond Retro episode 1 through 11. And they're also downloadable on Podbean. And I don't know if they've been uploaded to iTunes or not. I have no idea if those are. But if you want it on the go to podbean.com and search Fans of Power. Not Fans of Power. Beyond Retro, excuse me.
Getting it all mixed up, man.
Yeah, I'm getting all mixed up here. But, we're all available on Facebook, so hit us up on Facebook if you've got thoughts, questions, concerns, complaints, criticisms. If you want to, you know, contact me and tell me that my Christmases were better than both of theirs combined, we encourage you to do that. If you feel that Ghostbusters 2 is indeed a Christmas movie, I encourage you to share that very thought. You know, if you feel like, you know what, you've had worse than a hot sauce sandwich, we need to know that so that way Joe can shut the hell up. You know,
right.
If you were, I'm trying to think of how I can stomp Nathan in the ground here, but you know what? He hasn't come up.
Do it. He doesn't know how.
That's great.
But anyway, all our episodes are available on YouTube, on Podbean, and on our Facebook pages as well. And we encourage people to contact us. You know, we want fan participation as well, but, next week, we plan on discussing, you know, the Christmas specials themselves, like the Garfield Christmas, Frosty, Charlie Brown, and whatever was popular with us as kids, because all three of us, I'm sure, you know, Nathan was big on the Mickey Christmas special. I think Joe was. I've never seen it in its entirety. Never seen it. But we'll be sharing those and probably some other of Joe's video game memories as a kid. Yeah, what Nathan got that I didn't for Christmas, and you know, and it just continues.
I think we should just keep doing that every week.
What's that?
Yeah,
we should just keep doing that every week, talking about, you know, stuff I got for Christmas that you didn't, Joe's video game memories, and you know, how we both agree on things that you don't agree with.
Yeah, yeah, it would make a great trifecta from hell, you know. But all right. I can wrap it up there, guys. You guys give your closing statements.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna go ahead and say, like, talking about all of these movies with you guys, like, there's definitely some stuff I'm gonna revisit this weekend. Batman Returns for sure, because it's been a few years. I'd say, like, you know, 3 years since I sat and watched everything in its entirety. Like, I catch parts of it on TV, but that's definitely something I'm gonna watch this weekend. I can't guarantee it'll be this weekend, but at least between now and Christmas Day, I will make sure that my girlfriend watches Scrooge.
All right.
Yeah, I look forward to that story. I think we all look forward to that. And
make sure you know that that you're sharing this on YouTube, so we're guaranteed to have a positive report. I don't want her, you know.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'll just be like, well, she liked it. That's it. Let's move on. But if I can brag one more thing that I did that Tyler, I don't think, didn't do. I saw Scrooge in the movie theater. Tyler, did you see Scrooge in theaters?
That's it. Tyler leaves. He's out of here. Tyler, I don't think, experienced many of anything in the movie theater. It's always, I rented this, I got this, I got that.
No. I saw both Batman films in theaters. I saw Ghostbusters 2 in theaters. I saw Willow in theaters. Willow.
Did you see Masters of the Universe, the movie? Did you see that in theaters?
I feel a hate crime coming on here.
Oh, I knew it. Okay, that's how I wanted to end it with Tyler. All right, so me, I just wanted to say, well, I want to thank every single person that was in the chat room. Thank you for joining us. Hope you enjoy the show. And, of course, we'll hope you'll be here next week. And you just found out how much of a fan Tyler really is of the Master of the Universe movie since he didn't see it. But whatever. But, so again, thank you for joining us. And, yeah, I have no other closing remarks. But that's it. It was fun. So, yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Remember, Tyler, I didn't see shit in the theater.
Son of a bitch.